Hi everyone, welcome to Simply Blooming's podcast. I'm here with my two co-hosts and the rest of the team, Lord Vishnu Nair and Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva Parvati, and the beautiful Ganesh as well. We're all here ready to bring you something amazing for this podcast. So thank you, Vishnu, for being our co-host today. So today's topic, hello darlings, thank you so much. Hello Vishnu, thank you so much for coming and being our co-host. It's a privilege to have you on board. So the thing we're going to be discussing today with you all from your own art of inquiry that we've been listening to around the globe, around the cosmos, through the cosmos, and so it goes on, is about being conscious, but as a human being cognitively aware that you are a cosmic being, that you're pure energy, because a lot of you talk about it, but not necessarily really get the depth of what that means. So this is quite a vast topic. It's certainly not going to be in one podcast, but we're going to touch base with it and then keep diving. If you want to go direct, rather than just listen to the podcast only, all of what you are is in communion with yourself. And so these are inquiries that you have the answer for. Sometimes you're just so busy with life, life's economy, the fiscal relevance and irrelevance. Truly, it's irrelevant in the grand scheme of things, but it can be all-consuming and sidetracking of what you're really here and what you're here about, which is to really live a vibrancy of what you are in a physical form, with particles that have come together and created this beautiful manifestation known as a human being. And that human being evolution is changing, just like people coined the phrase spiritual, there's a different vibe about what that is anyway. But the understanding is deeper than what it ever has been. And of course, you are all spirited beings because you are all cosmically sound. And it's just remembering that you are all of that, but you've chosen a form that is presenting itself in a very unique way, So nature knows all this. Nature already embodies this. It lives it. It lives it real. It understands cellular renewal. It understands the regenerative process. It just doesn't overthink things, It's just so present that it just simply is, And so the human race actually is also capable of being that. And some of you have already transcended or ascended, whichever you would like to utilize in terminology. Are already recognizing that, not always living it, and that is all right too. Of course, it's all right because it's a choice. But some of you really want to stay in that conscious presence as you and live that in your, microsecond, millisecond flow. So, so I know Vishnu will have some beautiful queries and questions and answers as well to his understanding of that. Vishnu, would you like to say something before we go deeper?
Now, I was struck by, thank you, Isis, first of all. I was struck by the fact that you said that we choose to be in whatever form we are in, and we can transcend or ascend that. But then right now there's so much, chaos around us. How do we kind of make sense of the fact that within that chaos, like how each individual has actually decided to come to this planet, or come to this earth in their own form, and some form seems to be a little bit violent for us, the violence. So how do we reconcile that?
Yes, well, you don't actually need to reconcile anything. So if you're feeling chaotic inside, you're going to resonate with the chaos outside. So in and out is sort of a morphing of the one-ment anyway. So if you're feeling the chaotic presence of self, in your disconnected of the vastness of what you are, then your eyes and your absorption will go into the chaos that's being created in your external world. But on the note about coming to Earth, so those of you who are into energy centers, you have the base chakra or base energy center or muladhara, whatever terminology you'd like to use, it is going to be the same thing, whatever word you use. That is the Earth center. So that Earth center is actually Gaia itself. So it, and this is the thing, because when you look in a mirror, you see a physical form that has an edge. So you see your hand, for instance, you're seeing the fingers, or if you don't have a hand and you have an arm or you don't have a limb, let's go to your torso, whichever particle of life force you want to take for a human being. You look in the mirror and you see this form, but it's the illusionary self. Yes, if you cut it, it's going to bleed. But when you really feel the symbiosis of your vast self, some of you, and I, Isis always feels this, she can actually sense the particles, moving around, as in the co consciousness of cosmos, So, and I, we know that some of you are experiencing that, not always knowing what that is, but you're already are in a looseness of self. So in other words, you recognize the isness that is more than what your cells are showing up as skin, for instance. So, the chaos part is really a mind construct, not a heart construct. So when you allow your heart to fulfill you, and a lot of you have quite closed hearts because when you have an open heart, you feel a sense of vulnerability. And that's terrifying for so many people, for whether you have past hurts, past slights, and you're carrying it on from different experiences in your physical, tangible form. But and energy is tangible, just to touch base on that. We said tangible form, but energy is also tangible. Some of you have a play of light when you're doing your energy studies, and you put two hands close together and you can feel the vibration between the two hands. Or some of you will feel the lunar energy, the coolness in the palm of the hand, and the heat in this other hand, palm of the hand, which is the sun. So you have an understanding that that's all energy, and it can be utilized, and it's definitely present. So that is a physical sensation. So, but the chaos when you are coming from your heart and connected to the vastness of your being, but also your being is also your beautiful mind. The mind is a beautiful, beautiful energy itself. Then there's no chaos in the heart. A closed heart is a closed heart. So it's not your heart that's creating the chaos. It is just that fabrication. And so, you have all these beautiful media, platforms in so many ways. And of course, it's pumping that chaos more and more and more, And it also ignites a lot of fear. And we're not saying ignore what's going on in the world. Goodness no, because you're part of the world. It's not something that's separate from you. However, when you come into your fullness, your rightness of self, you cease to be a participant within that chaos. So there's trauma going on in the world. There's wars with all of those things, or even in your own environment. You have your own internal war, when you're toing and froing and you're at odds with yourself, so it starts there. So when you can feel the equanimity of who you are, you cease to be the radar of the chaos externally, and you become the radar of sending those light vibrations into a world, because there's many worlds. You're all living in your own world to a degree until you're not. And then that's where it starts. It starts in that very, it's very simple. It does, and it really takes a millisecond. It's not a where you have to sit for years or go to the Himalayas and sit in a cave. By all means, if you want to do that, you do that. You can do whatever you want, but you don't need, it's not a need. It's not a requirement in order to elevate your frequency or tune into a different frequency. There's no one way, but you might have a way you'd like. Maybe you'd like to go and retreat somewhere, but ultimately there's going to be a moment in your life that you have to join, a vastness of the participation in Earth or Gaia, because you are that. You can't separate yourself. And while you do often separate yourself, because you do, which we totally get why you do, but ultimately it's reconciling that you are also that, and love it. Because and we're not talking about how people say I love you, because often there's so many attachments to that way. We're talking about the primordial source, unconditional love that is constantly omnipresent,
I think you did answer my question. That was my going to be my follow-up questions, but I do have two follow-up questions on that. Partly you answered the first one that I was going to ask, but I have one more about the symbiotic relationship that you mentioned, which I thought is a beautiful point. So before I get into the symbiosis bit, so you did talk about the Earth center as Gaia itself, and our body is connected, right? So there's chaos. Obviously, we understand the chaos that is going on inside us, which is what we reflect. I mean, we project to the outside world. But there's also that you mentioned, there's so much violence and the war that you see. We become entangled in it, our emotions become entangled in it. So you did mention about sending that positive vibes, coming into your center and sending that positive vibes. So for audience who are listening, we always think about that. We actually forget that simple fact. I mean, I myself forget that. Do you really think there is, how do we explain it to the audience or the listeners that that our positive effects, or the for the lack of better word, the good energy that you're going to send, the peaceful energy, how does it create an impact in terms of the violence or in the wars that we are seeing?
So I'll respond to that one. So the thing is that while it's perceived that the world is in a state of violence, it's actually not. And it's hard to get that because there are things that are going on, but there's so many more really happy experiences happening, like so many more, but you're not hearing about them. So you might be in the UK, someone's in Australia. There's certainly violent acts that are taking place without a doubt, but and there's certainly something that needs to be addressed within ourselves. Within ourselves, a lot of the time people feel helpless. They feel like, but I can't do anything about that. There was something that went on with the wildlife here in Australia, and I was speaking to someone about that, or a few people about that, and they said, well, it's horrifying, but what I can't do anything about that. That was the statement. But we're all capable, we're all empowered, even when we forget, it's there. And so every action that you take, every inaction you take, it's all relative, and it's all a participation. It's not about changing the world at large. It's about in your own everyday life, how can you be the difference to what you want to see within yourself first, and then what you want to interact with. So yes, definitely, there's really horrifying things happening, everywhere, but there are, it's not everything that's happening. There are infinite things happening. What's happening though is that it's being amplified because that's what you're hearing, or you're hearing that more than you're hearing about all the amazing things. And we know that some of you are saying, because I can hear you, oh yeah, but that's whitewashing and blah 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 blah, and I get that. But the change has to happen with each individual, and each individual is important. There's no one that's not valuable. No one. Every person is a valued participation in the wholeness of everything. And people undervalue themselves. They don't see the value in themselves. So who would care? The thing we hear a lot with people is that, who would even take any notice? Who am I? I'm not famous. I'm not this. It's the I'm not. But in your everyday life, you're so important. You're so necessary. You're so relevant in, that's why you're here. But you're here to live the most amazing life. Now, if you choose to live a life that's amazing, but maybe it is to create those wars, that's a different frequency altogether. But that has its own capsule of light that then is shed on that understanding. And it doesn't have to absorb everyone into it. It's people choosing to be absorbed into it. So it's a choice. So if you feel someone around you in your everyday life, because it happens all the time, needs a helping hand, you've made a huge difference, not only to that person or those people, but you've also made a change within yourself because you're connecting to humanity through the heart center. And that makes an enormous shift in conscious vibration within the whole of Gaia. And there's many gays. It's not one. You see, the thing with this, the technology these days, that you've got a satellite, you go into Google Earth, and you go into all these technologies, and you're seeing like a ball. So nothing is like that. Nothing is a surface that just ends like that. It's, you've got people wanting to explore different planets, but it's not what you're perceiving. It's because your perceptions aren't where they can be. They're where they are now, which is exquisite because you're having all these experiences. But they're not all that is yet. It's a constant evolution. So as you shift your perceptions, you're going to see different realities. And it's in doing that that all the things that you feel that are traumatizing everything in this world at the moment changes. And it's a millisecond change, So, even when you go to a retail outlet, maybe you go to a bakery, and the assistant there sheds a beautiful smile as she says, how, or he says, how can I help you? When they radiate a genuine smile that they're excited to help you in some way, you've already been touched by the heart center. You've already been touched by the cosmos. You've been transformed in that moment, unless you choose to shut your heart down and say, I'm in a bad mood, I'm gonna stay that way. You notice my tone changed. So that's those everyday experiences really transform a life. They transform a life. And it is that every day. What happens is people denigrate that. They say that doesn't make any difference. It's not gonna stop the war over here. It's not gonna stop that what happened at that location just recently, or it did, it's not gonna stop that. Actually, it really does. It really makes a difference, but it's the belief systems that create that hindrance to the change, and that's with everything. I mean, there's a big discussion about climate change, and it's going off everywhere. And I work within sustainability environment, and the thing is that as much as it's all out there, people are still clearing vegetation, which is creating these urban heat sinks. So so as much as it's all over the media globally, we're losing because people are choosing monetary gain. It's not a criticism, everyone. It's just a statement of what's happening at the moment, but it can change, and it is changing in various places. But you clear all the vegetation, you're literally creating this open heat sink, which is then helping the temperatures to rise abnormally, whereas Gaia can balance all of that. It can do that. And you're a particle of Gaia, just as Gaia is a particle of you. So you can see the symbiosis. So when you look, why I always use nature as an analogy is because nature works symbiosis. It's pure symbiotic relationship. So human beings are part of that symbiotic relationship. When we separate from that cycling around of energy, we forget what we're contributing to in whatever way that we're consciously choosing it to suit whatever reason we have. But then as we become more recognizing that we are truly sustainable, not by taking from something else, but by allowing the open nature of sharing, it shifts the demographic, it shifts everything instantly. It's an instant shift. And another thing too in this world, it's very fiscally monetary orientated. There's a huge movement around the world to balance that out because it's all energy. Money's energy, bartering's energy, it's all energy. But to shift the balance, if someone is not got any shelter and the weather is extreme and you can see, then grab some people in your neighborhood and create some sort of structure that's shelter. Like this is it doesn't take money, it takes people. And people forget that. So on a very grounded, every nanosecond flow, we have these opportunities, but people get stuck in what's going on in their life, but really, when you look at yourself and say, put yourself in your own shoes, where are you feeling happy? What can I? And the other thing is, it's not about sending something out. You emanate. When you're happy, you're not sending it out, it's emanating from you. It just emanates out. It's just something that's it's not a doing action, it's a being. So when you're being and you feel the happy vibrations filtering, through you and pacing you, embodying you, it's just emanating, it radiates out. And just by being that, you've changed many people's lives, including your own.
I want to ask about the symbiotic relationship, which you already alluded to in the later part. We have been seeing a shift in terms of thinking, even within university scholarship, to really critique this anthropocentric thinking that human beings are very superior and nature is inferior, that kind of a model, to much more of what they call the symbiotic relationship, and which I understand superficially. My superficial understanding is very much in an interconnected way. Could you help us understand or explain what exactly from your perception of reality does the symbiosis work, and how does it work in terms of interconnectedness? How is that related to sharing and sustenance?
Yeah, so sharing, when you're coming from that vibrational frequency through sound waves, you're sharing naturally. It's not something that, it's not, this is a beautiful act too. If you make something, you've got a lot of food and you want to take it to a neighbor who maybe would like that, that's a form of sharing. Then there's the sharing where your sound frequency vibration is emanating at such a frequency of resonance that you're sharing it. Let's say this. You're sharing your vibration no matter what. If you're angry, you've just shared it with many people around you. If you get on a podcast and you're cranky and you've got a thing to wave at people, you're going to be sharing that. So there's many understandings of sharing. They're all valid. They're all amazing, whatever your choices are, but they are a choice. So there's that. So I could give you another example too. So I work with so many beings, and whether in a human form or a form that's in a different frequency vibration, like Lord Shiva, Parvati, Buddha, Kuan Yin, Dhaku, the Ascended Masters. I live with Ganesh, so that's very easy there. But I equally live with them and share with them, and vice versa, as I'm sharing with you and a wider community through the podcasting. But then I also sharing with people I work with in other fields of expertise. So that's another shift. So I don't see any separation from doing this podcast with you, or if I was there in person with you in a different way, and then working with Ganesh in the way that I work with him as a co-host, but also as the person in my life that's really pivotal, and then with Lord Shiva, Parvati, and all these and masters and all the beings of light, because you are all that. So I don't see a separation. I have the same conversations, different conversations of different words, obviously relevant to what's going on, but I see that one-ment in all things because I live it, but it's not someone that's higher than me or lower than me, because there's no such thing in the world I live in. I work in a level playing field. It's all is, but in, you go to a corporate and you world to work in, and it's a world, and you've got hierarchical, corporations. So you've got a CEO, and then you work down in that pyramid form, if that's the structure. It may be another structure in others. So you've got that. And so you've got that hierarchy. If you want to talk to someone, it's highly unlikely if you're in a particular part that doesn't see any of the boardroom meetings or anything, that you often you don't even get to see those people. And while it's not like that in all corporations, so yes, everyone have acknowledged that, you'll get someone that will come around that's a people person. That's what it's classified, isn't it? And they'll go around and make sure they get to say hello to the staff, even if it's a token gesture. So where I sit within the world that I live in with all of them, it's, everyone is open to being with everyone. There's no hierarchical system. There's no, I'm a greater being than you. It doesn't make sense. That's the symbiosis I come from. That's the symbiosis I live within. And I'm happy in that. Someone else may not be,
So I like the way you define symbiosis. So what I'm picking is this non-hierarchical relationship is what lot of other scholars and teachers have also taught us that, from an indigenous way too, it's very non-hierarchical. But when we see it as non-hierarchical, how does that shift our perception in terms of thinking that we are much more interconnected? So it leads to much more of a preservation rather than destruction, which is
Yeah,
quite
because you recognize what you destroy outside of you, you destroy inside of
is
you,
serious.
because it's that connection. It's like, so in bush regeneration, they, for some of the what they consider a weed, and nature doesn't consider itself a weed, but certainly in, some forms of ecology and botany and or like all sorts of things, just, in a lot of things where something has been put there, but for whatever reason, and so it's there's a poison used, just it doesn't affect the environment around it, but it certainly goes into the depth of it. Although we will say, with the hyphae mycelium aspect, it's still not understood. So if something goes into that, it's because it all communicates. But the understanding is still evolving. So there's certainly, it's there's, people are doing what they feel is the right thing to do, and that's totally understandable. But one of the things that came up when I was out there, was the tree that was I was talking with at the time, said, when you poison what we are, you poison yourself. And pretty much we do, as a human populace, we do that. We go out there and we spray, and this isn't everyone. I love gardens, and I used to put in habitat gardens for people, and I never sprayed, and I don't spray where I am at all, and I don't like pesticides, but that's a personal thing. Some people still do, because that's where they're coming from, that's where they're at, and that's how they feel about things. So there's certainly no judgment. But when you poison and when you go out to an ecosystem, there is this symbiosis. So every insect, every caterpillar, every arachnid, every participant in that, say, a garden, has its place, part to play. Like it's just it what everything requires each other, and it's understood. What we tend to do is we go in and we have our wants, and I want that, and I want that. So we will then utilize something of what we are to then get what we want, but not always looking at how the cause and effect is. You know, if you make a judgment and you look at the cause and effect, you say, I'm going to call it, that's my judgment, I'm happy with that, well then that's what it is, you know. But when you're putting, say if you had a veggie patch and you put a spray on there that's toxic because it's going to kill some things on there, you can wash it, but the residual is always going to be there because it's gone into the systemic part of the plant. And a lot of people will be upset with that because I'll say, oh no, it only lasts 30 seconds, whatever, but it can go out of its system. But then you've got to look at how long is how long, you know. Look at people. So someone might have the flu, and someone will really suffer in such an unfortunate way with the flu. They'll have it for weeks on end. Another person might have the flu, and their body clears it out of their system within 48 hours. And you look at the two people, for example, you know, hypothetically, and you think, why did that person have that flu? It's the same flu strain, but all that time, this other person was 48 hours. So nature also has that understanding. Sometimes there's an immune deficiency within a plant where the nutrient level isn't as high and optimum. You go and spray that plant just to kill off whatever it is that you want to. It's going to be a slower process for that systemic, you know, the spray to get out of the system of that plant. You take it and you harvest it, you wash the outside, but the residual is still in there. So I know, you know, I study science as well, and I've come from Ayurvedic medicine, which is scientific as well, but and there's a lot of going to be upset people out there with that, but you still don't know. You're still researching. And the wonderful gift of science is that it's out there, in there, immersing itself into proving things. And that's required. It's such a gift to the whole populace that they're wanting to get, and there's different opinions from a scientific understanding. You know, there's so many beautiful scientists out there, and they're all going to differ to a degree, and it's hard because you've got to keep publishing papers. And then they'll learn something new, and that paper will be negated because then you've discovered something new. That's progression, right? That's the progression, also perception. And then there's beauty, like Monica, who wrote Thus Spoke the Plant, incredibly talented, gifted scientist who's coming from a very different understanding through her own personal sattvic experiences. And she's got a whole new repertoire of things to offer the scientific community and the community at large, and very, very gifted. You know, so it's really important. But then there's those of us who are very intuitively based, not separate to science, but they're just that's you don't need to go through the scientific protocols because you just resonate with the essence so strongly, and you'll perceive it, you know. Then there's those people that say, oh yeah, you know, I know that, but I can extract that because my energy will pull that chemical out of there and it'll be okay. Certainly, that's definitely possible. There's everything is possible. What is probable is where you're coming from and where you're at, you know. So no one is wrong, no one is right. You're having different experiences through your perception. But as you allow your evolution of your perceptions to shift, what you thought was how you felt about something will definitely be different.
We have 10 minutes left, so I just this might take a long answer too. So I'm actually going to the symbiosis bit.
Yeah.
So when we really look at nature, I mean, I don't come from this perspective, but I think there are people who come from this perspective. One might say, you know, it could be still hierarchical because the bigger animals are eating the smaller animals, you know. So it could,
Yeah,
well, yeah. But then I look at it and say, that's needed, but that's not, you know, that's needed for symbiosis. It's not hierarchical, but that's sustenance and
yeah,
preservation. And
it's a cycling. So on that note, that's a really important note because, you know, I work in the bush and forests and that, and you know, yeah, you see remnants of animals that have been eaten by something. So in with I don't the thing in nature, it doesn't kill just for the sake of killing. And there'll be people who work with nature and say, oh yes, it does. It actually really, really, really doesn't. And I can't reiterate that enough. It doesn't, when it kills for a purpose, it's not killing for wanton killing. It's killing as a part of the food cycle. And not all animals do that. And it does, if you see an animal kill another animal, it's quite horrifying because it feels so brutal. And I personally have trouble. I acknowledge that because I think of the pain the animal go through. But on an energy level, the energy is already moving out of that animal and into the animal that's then eating it, to be quite honest. So energy in nature is cycling around. It happens with humans too, all the time. That's not, we don't want to start killing each other. Wars, it's good not to have them, right? Peace is wonderful and highly advocate it. But in nature, it doesn't have the mindset, well, just, I want that piece of land, I'm going to kill for it. I want that power, I want to be that dictator, I will kill no matter what, you know. So nature will eat, like I watched killer whales, which I love them, but there was a pack, they're known as the wolves in the ocean, and I get that through a perception of some people, but there's this beautiful blue whale, and there's a whole pack of whales just devoured it. It was hard, but however, it's a food source. And so that's part of the cycle. But on another level, which we won't have time to talk about, it's actually not even that. But that's a whole different field of frequency vibration.
Do you
And
understand telling about it in a little bit? Because
it
that's
will
what
be a lot. Well, you know, energy moves into all forms. And you know, we're very stuck as a human being, we get very stuck. Like when someone passes away, you feel this incredible loss, but the energy that the person was is still there, it's still alive, you know. I mean my father passed away just very recently, and I mean he came straight away and said hello. I was in the bush, and I said, so you passed from your body. But the physical sensation of that loss and sadness is definitely, you know, there without a doubt. I mean, the love is there. It's just the transcendence or ascension, understanding that the body was just tired, and or other things happen, and the energy just moves on to a different state of being. That's what happens, you know. And people who've had those near-death experience where their bodies aren't, have had that experience, they get it. Certainly don't advocate do that. That's a difficult way to do it. You don't have to do that. You don't have to have the experience. But if you had that, something like that happen, then you know what we're talking about. However, even as a form that's very vibrant, you know, you can also see more. You can also see more that's beyond your form. You know, you can see, you know, all over. You know, it's like, you know, I love the indigenous cult understanding insofar as, and we all have it inside of us, is that you can see through the eye of an eagle as it's soaring through the sky. So your energy is connected to all consciousness, all of life. And so you can see that. So in American Indian, they could, you know, you had your spirit animal. Well, we all have that. We just don't always remember that we have that. So you can see, because most of the time people are caught up in the everyday, the traumas that's shown on the news, the, you know, the upset day or the fiscal scarcity, you know, all of that. So people don't feel they have the space to even contemplate that, you know, until they make a decision that I want to be something else in my life. And maybe they'll say, how am I going to do that? And then it starts the wheels turning within. And different start experiences and events starts to manifest in their life to help them understand more of what they are. The knowledge is always there, and it's always coming from you. You know, you can go to all the educational institutions, and I love them all, but ultimately you're your own teacher as well as student, and neither, you know. But so it's really important to recognize the intelligence that you have and honor it equally as you can respect and honor someone else's intelligence.
That sounds really like a wonderful end for a short podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. We
Thank
will
you so
say
much,
more.
Jesus.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for participating, and as a co-host, thank you, Lord Ganesh and Shiva Patil, who you think are very silent, but actually they're very much vocalizing as we're talking. Pilati will probably come through in her own tonations in the next podcast. But thank you all for participating. Thank you to all of the audience who have raised the point with Ganesh. He's always listening and always ready to be, hang around in Woolloodara. He loves that space. And just, share with you, really. He just loves sharing. So thank you very much. Thank you. We look forward to, I will talk about more with the team and all of you as the vast team that we love to be participating with on symbiosis and the energy shifts in frequency and also the animal nature, because there's so many understandings with that. And, yeah, I won't go into it because it's really exciting. Well, I think it's really exciting because I'm passionate about it. But anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you for all of us here in Simply Blooming. Bye for now. Namaste.